8 verses. I'm going to read the entire chapter of Revelation chapter 6 for the sake of context, even though our specific verses this morning will be verses 9 through 11. Keep in mind as well that in your bulletins there is an insert which is an outline of this morning's sermon, and so you might want to have that handy as well as you follow along and listen to God's word proclaimed. So we begin with our scripture reading, which will be all of Revelation chapter 6. And let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. I looked, and as he opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. And the stars in the sky fell to the earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll, rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" Thus the reading of God's word this morning from the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Each year our nation sets aside the last Monday in May as Memorial Day. It is a day to remember those who have fought for our country and who gave their lives as a sacrifice of service to others. It is an important day, a day where even in our community, it is celebrated in Coopville with a parade and in Oak Harbor with flags all throughout the town, a day to remember those who died for the sake of our freedom. One of the traditions that has been established is the decorating of the gravestones with U.S. flags and flowers to remember those who died. I've been told that on the Thursday before Memorial Day, the 1,200 soldiers of the 3rd U.S. Infantry place American flags at each of the more than 260,000 gravestones at Arlington National Cemetery. They then patrol 24 hours a day during the weekend to ensure that each flag on each gravestone remains standing. The military and the nation wants to be sure that all those who died in service to our country will never be forgotten, even though so many today take their freedom for granted. But did you know that heaven also has a gravestone? Did you know that all those who have died in service to Jesus' kingdom will never be forgotten? Did you know that God still has a memorial day that is to come? Let us take a look at our text this morning as we seek to understand Memorial Day in heaven. In Revelation chapter 6, we are in the midst of the second vision in Revelation. This vision begins in chapter 4 and goes all the way through the first part of chapter 8. And as you read the various chapters, we recognize that the vision is not given to us chronologically. It's not as if chapter 4 happens and then chapter 5 happens and then chapter 6 happens in history. But the vision is unfolded in such a way that each chapter reveals to us a fuller picture of what is taking place. In Revelation 4, we saw the picture of God the Father, God Almighty, on His throne in heaven. In chapter 5, specifically verse 6, we are given the picture of the Lamb that was slain, standing at the center of the throne in heaven. This sets for us the time period of Revelation chapter 6. That this vision is the picture of heaven after Jesus died, rose from the grave, and ascended into heaven. In chapter 5, He is pictured in heaven, the slain Lamb who died on the cross, resurrected and standing at the center of the throne. And now that He has ascended, in chapter 6, we are told of the opening of the seals. Now I've laid them out for you again on your outlines, even though I preached through them in detail last week. But for a refresher for those who were not here, the first seal is opened. And as you look, as each seal is opened, it is the Lamb that opens that seal. Thus, what happens has been decreed by God. And the voice that comes from the living creatures that says, "Come," is the voice that sends out the horses. The first seal is opened and we are told it is a white horse. This white horse is sent all throughout the earth, and this white horse represents the Word of God. And the Word of God is proclaimed throughout all the earth. It has been decreed from the throne that until the Lord returns from His ascension into heaven, until He returns someday, the Word of God will be proclaimed to the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west, all the ends of the earth, the Word of God will go. The Lamb opens the second seal, and this time, as the living creature shouts, "Come," another horse is released, a horse that is fiery red. This fiery red horse stands for blood. We are told in the following verses that this horse and rider is sent out to take peace from the earth. That means that throughout the earth, from Christ's first coming until His second coming, there will be war on earth. There will be bloodshed on earth. There will be wars and rumors of wars until our Savior comes again, and believers and unbelievers will die. It has been decreed from heaven. The third seal that we read taking place, that is opened, sends out a black horse. This black horse stands, the color black, for scarcity. It stands for famine. It stands for the fact, as you read the following verses, that until the Lord comes again, there will be economic inequality on the earth, that there will be rich and poor, that there will be those who starve from famine, and believers and unbelievers will die. And finally, the fourth seal is opened. And again, a horse is sent out with the command, "Come." This horse is pale and sickly. And we are told in the verses that follow that a plague is added to the curses that have already been sent out. This plague, this disease, is a reminder that until our Lord comes again, believers and unbelievers will die of horrible illnesses. Whether it be Alzheimer's, or Parkinson's, or cancer. These diseases will be present on the earth, and once a cure is found for one, there will be another to come along. And believers and unbelievers will die. God has decreed it. But now this morning we come in verse 9 to the fifth seal. And once again we see that the Lamb opens this seal. God has decreed it. And as John looks into heaven and he sees this fifth seal opened, he sees an altar. And under the altar are the souls of those who have been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. What is this altar? What is the meaning of this altar that we see in heaven? We know from the Old Testament that there were two altars in the Old Testament tabernacle. There was the altar of sacrifice, which stood before the holy place entrance, where people came and brought their animals, and the animals were sacrificed and slaughtered unto the Lord, representing the sacrifice of God's Son who died on the cross. We also know that inside the holy place, before the curtain of the Holy of Holies, was another altar. This was the altar of incense, where incense was offered by the priest morning and evening, and incense, the sweet smell, rising up before the Lord, representing the prayers of the saints. But here in this fifth seal, as it is opened, which altar it is not identified. We know that it is not the altar of sacrifice because Jesus Christ has died on the cross, he has been slain, and he has made the once for all sacrifice, and no more sacrifices are needed. It is also not identified in our text as the altar of incense, which is we are told about in chapter 8 concerning the burning of incense before the Lord. So which altar is it? We aren't sure. But one thing we know for sure about this altar is it stands in heaven along with the souls of those who had been slain as a memory for those who have been slain for the Savior. If you go back to chapter 5, verse 6, you notice in that part of the vision, John sees the Lamb, Jesus Christ, looking as if it had been slain, same word, standing in the center of the throne. These souls that are under the altar are identified with the Savior. They have given testimony to the Word of God and testimony that they have believed in this Savior and that His sacrifice was for their sins and that He was God's Messiah. And because of their testimony, they too have been slain. In chapter 5, we are told that Jesus, the Lamb, has been slain but is standing at the center of the throne. He has been resurrected and he now is in heaven. But in the fifth seal, John sees under the altar the souls not the bodies as well, only the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony that they maintained. The souls of those who have been martyred. The souls of those who have died for the sake of Jesus Christ. Sacrifice takes place on altars. These souls, in identifying with the Savior, their blood has been shed. Their blood and sacrifice for the sake of His kingdom. These are believers who, when confronted by unbelief, when confronted and told to recant what they have believed concerning the Word of God and Jesus Christ, they refused to recant. And this altar, this gravestone memorial in heaven, stands as a remembrance for what they have done. This text is telling us that they are not forgotten in heaven, that their sacrifice, that their death is remembered in heaven and not forgotten. Sometimes in America, it is hard for us to identify this. But all throughout church history, from Jesus' ascension until He comes again, the saints have been martyred for their faith in the Word of God and their testimony about Jesus. It starts in the Bible in Acts chapter 7. Stephen, one of the first deacons, goes out and faithfully proclaims the Word of God, and he testifies that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and died on the cross for his sins. And they stoned him. Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, tradition tells us, was crucified upside down. James, the head of the Jerusalem church, was beheaded. Matthew, another one of Jesus' disciples, killed by the sword. Almost all of those who walked with our Lord on this earth, one of His disciples, were martyred and put to death because they would not recant. We are told in the first vision of Revelation of the challenge from heaven for believers in the early church to hold true to their faith and to be overcomers of the world and those who seek to destroy them for their faith. We know of the Roman persecution during the days of Nero when they blamed the Christians for burning Rome. We think back to the Reformation and men like John Huss and William Tyndale who were burned at the stake because they would not recant. We think of Martin Luther and John Calvin running for their lives because of their faith in the Word of God and their testimony for Jesus. Do you think those are things of long ago? Do you think that still does not happen anymore today? Think of the large numbers of Christians that perished in the last century. In 1925, Turkish authorities killed 600,000 Armenian Christians. Think of the thousands, perhaps millions of Russian Orthodox Christians who were slaughtered under Lenin and Stalin. Think of all those who died in Hitler's Germany because they refused to obey the wicked dictator and what he told and commanded them to do, and their love for God and His truth instead. In 1975 in Cambodia, 10,000 Christians were put to death. And what of the untold, uncounted numbers that the world does not know of Christians killed in China during its revolution, of Christians killed in Indonesia, and even today throughout Africa and Iraq and the Middle East? Our text tells us today that their sacrifice has not been forgotten in heaven. Their souls are there under the altar because of their testimony for the Word of God and the testimony they maintained to the end, not recanting their faith. In fact, verse 10 tells us that not only are they remembered in heaven, but a call goes up from them, a call for God's justice. Verse 10 reads that they called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" How long, just like the psalmist as they cry out for God to deliver them, "How long, O Lord, will you allow our enemies to destroy us and bring harm to your people?" How long these souls are crying out to God. They are crying out, we're told, to the sovereign God. They understand that He is in control of every aspect of their life and of all of creation. How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? What are they doing? Sometimes people read this text and they say, well, this does not go along with the rest of Scripture. What did Jesus say from the cross? At the cross, as Jesus was about to pass away, He cried out to His Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As Stephen was being stoned, His last words were similar to our Savior, to forgive those who had brought this harm upon them, for they did not know what they do. And now we look at this verse in Revelation, and it seems like the souls are crying out for God's judgment to come upon the unbelieving world, and they are not praying for those who have caused this harm. But notice the distinction. Jesus taught us, and Stephen demonstrated, that while on earth, yes, we do pray for our enemies. We pray for those who bring harm to the church. We pray that God would convert them just as He did the Apostle Paul, who was persecuting the church, who was there when Stephen was killed and later became God's servant and apostle. But here in heaven, the cry that goes up is not a cry of revenge. It is a cry for God's holiness, for God's justice and truth to make things right. The cry that goes up is that He would judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. Our God is a just God, and they are crying out for God to live and act according to His character. That His truth, that His justice, that His holiness would be made known, and that all the earth someday would know and see the holiness and justice of God. And those who have denied Him, those who have brought harm to His church and to His saints, that they would suffer on that memorial day the wrath and the justice of God. What is God's memorial day? I read for you a moment ago the last verses of this chapter, the opening of the sixth seal. I'll read them again, beginning at verse 12. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair, and the whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth as a late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. This is the language of the day of the Lord as we see it in the Gospels and other places in Scripture. This is the description of the day of the Lord's coming, of the day of His wrath upon unbelievers and all those who have rejected God and who have brought harm to His church. We're told in verse 14 that on that day, the sky receded like a scroll, rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place, and the kings of the earth, the princes and generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of wrath has come, and who can stand?" Who can stand against the wrath of God? Who can stand against His holiness, against His truth, and against His justice? All those who have harmed the church, all those who have rejected the Lamb, all those who have rejected God and His salvation through Jesus Christ, they will suffer that wrath. God's Memorial Day is coming. But you see in verse 11 that the souls under the altar, each of them, we're told, is given a white robe. They stand in the presence of God in white. They stand in the presence of God having been made just. They stand in the presence of God having been sinners, but having been forgiven of their sins. They know and have believed that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, that He died on the cross to pay for their sins, that He was God's Messiah, and that they testified for Him, and they lived their life for Him while they were here upon the earth, and they died for Him. And their blood was spilled for Him so that future generations would know Him. Each year our congregation celebrates Reformation Day when we remember the sacrifice of those who went before us, who stood so firmly for the Word of God and for God's truth, and many who died for the sake of God's truth. But even today, we remember and have benefited. They were servants and soldiers, Christian soldiers, in the kingdom of God. They died, their lives were given for the sake of God's kingdom here on earth, for the sake of the gospel and the kingdom of Jesus Christ, so the white horseman and His word could continue to be proclaimed to the four ends of the earth. And their sacrifice, their service in the army of the kingdom of God is not forgotten in heaven, but they are there, and an altar is there. And their souls are there, and they are at rest, and they are waiting. Do you see the last part of that verse, verse 11? They were told to wait, and some of your translations have a better word, I think it's to rest. They were told to wait, to rest a little longer. They are at peace with God. They are in the heavenly rest, but they are still waiting. Waiting for the day that God's Memorial Day will come. They are waiting for the day when their bodies will be resurrected from the grave. When they too will, body and soul, be in heaven with the Savior. When our Lord will return to earth. But when? When? When will this day occur? The fifth seal gives us a clue. At the very end of verse 11, we're told this, that they wait, that they rest, until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. Do you see the foolishness of those who persecute and bring harm to the church? God has ordained until the Lord returns, until our Savior returns, that that day will come when the full number of believers have been killed as those in the past have been killed, and that number is completed. And each time an unbeliever kills a believer, he has moved a step closer to God's final wrath and judgment. He has moved a step closer, adding to the numbers, when God's memorial day will come. On Memorial Day, we think of our fallen military heroes. We remember those who died in service to our country. We hold on to the fact that they and their sacrifice will not be forgotten. God tells us, with the opening of the fifth seal, that the persecution of His church will continue until our Savior returns again. And we are reminded that in heaven, those who have died in the Lord are not forgotten. There is an altar there, a memorial altar. The souls of those who died are there under that altar. Their cry goes up, "How long, O Lord, until Your holiness and truth are made known throughout the world?" And we are told that when the full number of His soldiers have come in, that day of truth and justice will come. But in the meantime, the fifth seal is opened and it remains. And Christians throughout the world will continue to lose their lives as the numbers add up. We live in a free country. We remember the freedom that was purchased by those, our forefathers, who died for us so that we could have this freedom. Some say this persecution is for elsewhere in the world, not for us. But I have had many people say to me in the last year that they are worried about our nation's future. They wonder what it will be like for the children and grandchildren in the years to come. As we read our text this morning, as we look at the fifth seal, we are called to ask the question, are we overcomers? Are we faithful witnesses? Are we willing to stand up for God's truth? Are we willing to stand up for our Savior and the only way to salvation? Or when pushed in a corner, or within a certain group of people, do we recant? and back down. Our text is a call that we would be soldiers of the kingdom of heaven. Our text is a call to service and to testimony for the Word of God, even in a culture or a nation that may be changing. Our text is a call to be an overcomer, to be a faithful witness, to not back down for God's truth and for His Word, and to be willing to give ourselves for the sake of His kingdom, and know that our service will never be forgotten. And God's Memorial Day, His day of holiness and truth, is soon to come. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this text, for it speaks to us of the faithful service of Your servants who have gone before us. If it had not been for their sacrifice, we may not be here this morning. We rejoice in their sacrifice and death for the sake of our Savior and His truth. We rejoice that You have worked in our hearts and have called us to believe in this Savior and to stand up for His truth. Father, give us the faith of our fathers, that no matter what happens to us in this world, no matter what pressure is put on us to turn from Your truth and Your Word, You would work in us, that we would be faithful witnesses, that we would stand for You and for our Savior, that we would never back down from anyone who challenges us or tries to steer us astray. Enable us to glorify You as a soldier of the cross forevermore. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.